I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle mood on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is also the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair. We just had our last one, the 21st and 22nd of October at the Monterey Fairgrounds, and we'll be returning to the Monterey Fairgrounds October 27th and 28th of 2018. In the meantime, we have our quarterly previews with the one for 2018 in January, February, March, coming up on the 29th of December, and then March 30th, going around to June, September, and December of next year. So get on the email list of rhodaspsychicfair.com or goodvibrationsradio.com so you can be notified of those upcoming events and stay informed about what's going on in the world around you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we are. It is the 11th of December. 2017 has come and almost gone. For those of you who listened to the vibrational energy for the month presented by Kirilani, you know that on the products page of Good Vibrations Radio, we have the preview calendar for December, and that each day of December represents 1 week of 2018 in the first 6 months of the year. And that when we observe what happens on each day, and we can take a look at what impact we can expect during that week of the year as we go forward, it gives us an opportunity to recognize challenges that we may face or issues that we may have to resolve or gifts that may be coming for us. Either way, go ahead and download your free copy of the December preview calendar on the products page of Good Vibrations Radio. As you know, I love to start each show with a little day by day with James Allen. Now, James Allen wrote his essay, As a Man Thinketh, in 1903. The intention of his essay was to let us know that through our thought process, we have the opportunity to change our current reality. Our present reality is a direct outcome of our past thoughts, beliefs, habits, and intentions. And on a daily basis, we have the opportunity to change those thoughts and beliefs, those habits and intentions, and create a new future going forward. We don't have to be the same as we've been. We don't have to be the same as we've always been. We have an opportunity to be new. And we get an opportunity to start shifting that each and every day. In Day by Day with James Allen, his words have been carved up into a little segment for each day of the month so that it's more digestible. And today, for the 11th day of the month, he tells us the formula for success. He says he conceives of, mentally builds up an ideal condition of life. The vision of a wider liberty and a larger scope take possession of him. Unrest urges him to action, and he utilizes all his spare time and means, small though they are, to the development of his latent powers and resources. James Allen is telling us, no matter where you are, no matter what your starting point is, if you create that strong, clear intention and focus, you will move yourself forward in the direction you desire. Let me restate this again. He conceives of, mentally builds up an ideal condition of life. The vision of a wider liberty and a larger scope take possession of him. Unrest urges him to action, and he utilizes all his spare time and means, small though they are, to the development of his latent power and resources. You know, in Think and Grow Rich, there was a wonderful old poem that was shared that said, "I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged at evening when I counted my scanty store. For life is just an employer. He gives you what you ask, but once you've set the wages, why, you must bear the task. I worked for a menial's hire, only to learn, dismayed, that any wage I had asked of life, life would have willingly paid." Be honest with yourself in this closing month of the year. Be honest with yourself as we go forward even through this week. Be honest with yourself that the reality that you presently are in is a result of your intentions, your thoughts, and your actions. And resolve within yourself to move forward in the direction that you choose by shifting those thought processes. Don't be judgmental. Don't be harsh. Don't be unkind. Just resolve to shift, to make happen what you want to happen. One of the things I do every day is to plant that positive thought in my head using the daily word put out by the Unity Corporation. And for Monday, December 11th, the daily word says, "I embrace the sacred opportunity in every relationship." Recently, somebody's been talking to me about the relationships in their life. And what I shared for them is that they're the ones in the driver's seat of how they approach that relationship. And I'm not talking about friends and family and partners and spouses alone, but every relationship we're in. We're in the driver's seat. So the underlying question for each and every one of us is, do you want to create connection with people? And if you do, you will. And if you don't, you won't. If you look at communication with other people as something that you don't want to do, that it interferes with your time, that you don't want to waste an effort caring about the person next to you when they have some challenge or issue that they're dealing with, you won't create those connections. It's that simple. But if you're a compassionate, empathetic human being, you can just say that when I meet people, my goal is to create a connection, not force, not push, not pry, but to create a connection. And that goes right to the heart of what the daily word is asking us for today, is I embrace the sacred opportunity in every relationship. If all you do is pass on a smile to the people you encounter during the day, you've done a great sacred gift. So that's it for today, and I think that leads us very cleanly into our segment host for today. Dr. Arnie Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University, and he's been teaching at the graduate and undergraduate level for well over 30 years. Now, his passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communications. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues. And in the past 7 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations from San Francisco down to King City. And he joins us with his segment, Speaking of Listening, on the second Monday of each month from 5 to 6 p.m. So let's have a little musical introduction and listen to Dr. Arnie Buss and Speaking of Listening.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen. sound from deep within. It's only beginning to find relief.
And thank you, and welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Soul Azar. As he said, I am your host for this segment, Arnie Buss. Speaking of Listening is about ways of improving all of your relationships by listening from your heart. And that was a wonderful introduction to what I'm going to talk about today. I love that idea of a sacred opportunity, as was expressed in the word of the day, and what Soul Azar was saying, talking about how in every relationship, it's what you want. Do you want to connect with other people? You know, what a wonderful thought. It brings to mind actually a Henry Ford quote about whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. And for me, what that means is that if you want to connect with other people and can do so in an effective, heart-centered way, then you will. And if it's something that you don't want, then it won't happen. What I like to talk about is, well, a lot of things, but in particular here, about listening and how listening particularly to the essence of what the other person is saying. And in other words, what is the underlying message? It's not just in the words. And as the year comes to a close, it is, of course, the holiday season, which is a time of joy, of celebration, and if you're like many of us, more opportunities for lots of conflict between you and your family members. Because the holidays are as much a time of joy as they are a time of regression. And I'll talk a little bit about what I mean by that. With the holidays, we typically will celebrate them with our family of origin. Now, when we do that, when you come in contact with the family of origin, then one of the very common things that happens is that we regress to our child in such situations. So if you're visiting parents, grandparents, older relatives, no matter what your age, it's very common to kind of slip back into the same kinds of patterns that you had when you were growing up. And you know, conversely, if you're a parent or grandparent or older relative, it can be a challenge to see your younger relatives as fully adult, fully human beings instead of the children that they were. You know, it's a common thing, like your children are always your babies. Well, that's, you know, and that can be a beautiful sentiment. However, there is something about the holidays that causes us to regress to sometimes the most childish ways, that we were. So, and even as an adult, there's that tendency. I mean, have you noticed this, that when if you go back home, something that you don't do very often, say during the holidays, maybe you make a trip to see your parents or older relatives, and you find yourself acting not as you do normally, but as you used to. And the thing is that a lot of times those younger relationships can be very challenging. The biggest challenge is to stay in our aware heart when we're confronted with these triggers that cause us to regress. In other words, the stimulus of seeing your family of origin, the people who are around there, can often cause us to to revert back to those dynamics. So given that, it becomes even more important to be skillful with your communication, and perhaps even more important to be in your aware heart about it. And that can be the biggest challenge. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, well, the good, the bad, and the ugly about this. And I will finish up with some tips for making communication during the holidays be a little bit less stressful than they might. So, you know, some of the good, I mean, and by the good, I don't mean all the warm and fuzzy good type of stuff. There's plenty of that. There's certainly going to be enough of that. But I'm seeking the good in the conflict. Okay? So now here's the thing. If you've been doing any amount of inner work, chances are much of it, if not almost all of it, has led back to family of origin issues that had their origin in your family of origin. And through that process, you may have come in contact with ways that you were hurt growing up, ways that individuals had affected you in a negative way. Things that you've had to really struggle and work through, and now you're going to go back and see that person or persons. So you may have identified ways that you and others were back when you were younger that are now not okay, that you've realized that that if you were to go through that now, you would recognize that it's not okay. But then the thing is that as a young child, growing up, you don't know any differently than what's being presented. And sadly, some of us have had to endure extreme abuse growing up, and I'm not really talking about that. You know, even if you grew up in a loving household, there were things that did cause childhood wounds, no matter how wonderful and loving your parents or caregivers were. It's just inevitable that in the process of making us sociable human beings and not some kind of wild person, that there be limits placed. And as a child, we don't like that. I remember, you know, when one of my sons was little, and he had to go to bed, and he didn't want to go to bed, and you know, just listening, he was, "I hate you, Dad," you know. So it's, and of course, he was simply expressing his anger and frustration at having to do something that he didn't want. And I don't know, hopefully it didn't cause too much trauma. But the thing is that when you're growing up, it's inevitable that these things happen. And now that the holidays are here, and you're back into face-to-face with your childhood in a way, first of all, it's natural to regress. But again, we're talking about some of the good. So having identified these family of origin issues, you are now in direct contact with the people who did this. And it's always a little more beneficial to your healing to be dealing with the actual person there. And, you know, sadly for some of us, our caregivers or parents have passed away, and there isn't that possibility. But in the case that there is, that's the opportunity, and it may not have been the parents. It may have been a sibling, an older sibling, or even a younger sibling. The good is the opportunity to change the dynamic, to reinforce the changes that you made in yourself through your inner work by choosing to not to revert to those old patterns. In other words, to move beyond them, to have a different kind of relationship with the people in your family. And that's a wonderful opportunity. There are challenges. So remember that, first of all, don't expect anybody to notice that there's anything different. The people's perspective, especially your family of origin, I mean, their perspective of you may still be blocked in the past. They still may expect you to play the same role that you did as a young person. The other thing to remember is that you're the members of your family of origin, they're not the same people they were. They've changed as well. I mean, whether they did inner work or not, just through the passage of years, I mean, everybody changes. And they aren't the same people that they were when you were growing up. So, when you think of them as when you were a child, keep in mind that your image of them is just that. It's really an image in your mind. So you're not seeing them as they are now necessarily. If you're locked in the past, if you're seeing them as they were, then you're not being fully present. So again, there's an opportunity to see them as they are now. And regardless of any of this, even if in some ways they haven't changed, understand that you can't change them. So, and knowing that we can't change others, that's something that's easy to say, hard to do in the sense that so often we really want the other person to change. It would be great if only you were different. So this is a concrete way of really recognizing that. And furthermore, there's an opportunity for genuine appreciations of who the people are, of even though, despite of what may have happened in the past, that things are in a better place now. Of course, when you express appreciation, you got to be careful of how you say that. You don't want to give backhanded compliments, you're not as big a jerk as you used to be. I mean, see, that's an appreciation, isn't it? Not quite. Okay, so that's the good. I mean, not the last part. I mean, but the good is the opportunity. Okay, so now the bad. Well, the bad is that even knowing all of this, you still may regress. Why? Because despite whatever work you've done, old habits and reactions are so difficult to change. Change is really hard, even if it's you're the only one. And then when faced with an environment that causes all of your reactions to take you to a certain place, it takes a lot of it can take a lot of effort to not go there. And if that happens, you may feel discouraged. You say, well, I mean, I've done all this work, and now, things are just as bad with my siblings or with my parents. And you may feel discouraged about this, and maybe, think, well, what's the use if I haven't really made any progress? It may seem as if nothing is ever going to change. And chances are that may happen. But remember that there's no failure in this. If you judge it to be failure, then it will be a failure. But if you judge it and treat it as information, then it can be very valuable information. Well, for one, it can be just an indication, well, there's more work to do here. If I'm still triggered by some of these things, then, I just got more work to do. Got to figure out what that's about and go into that, continue. Usually what gets triggered on this is your inner critic. So your inner critic is sitting there saying, oh, you know, you're Mr. High and Mighty or holier than thou, and here you're acting like a jerk again, like you always have. You're never gonna make any progress. You know, you're always gonna be, you know, this way. Do you have a voice that says things like that to you? Well, part of a lot of work is addressing what that inner critic is about, and the holidays and contact with your family of origin tends to bring that out, because many times your inner critic has its genesis in your caregivers, in your family of origin. And that voice that you hear, sometimes it might be the voice of your father or of your mother. And when you hear it from the outside as well as the inside, then that can lead to a kind of a resonance of that. So what you can do is you can notice your own reactions. So again, this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to be more aware of what is going on in yourself. So just notice when your reactions were based upon old tapes. And if your reactions were such that you lashed out, or maybe you did something or said something that you weren't proud of, make amends. As again, there are always opportunity to make amends, you know, to others, and perhaps most importantly, to make amends to yourself. So that's the good, the bad, and that leaves the ugly. And the ugly has to do with just trying to change your family of origin. You know, the more you try to change others, the uglier it gets. And keep in mind that even if changes are noticed, you're going to get pressure to change back. See, family systems tend to like the status quo. And anything that kind of breaks the status quo can become dangerous to the system. So there's pressure to not rock the boat too much. So if you in the family have played a certain role, by changing, you're not playing that role anymore, and there may be an expectation. Another ugly thing that may happen is, you know, okay, so they may not accept your amends. Develop realistic expectations. You know, understand that they have followed their path and you followed your path. And so the more realistic your expectations can be about how things are going to go, the less disappointed you might be when they don't entirely pan out. Okay, so that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, I do want to give you some tips for communication during the holiday, and I've got 7 of them here. So there's something magic about the number 7. Okay, the first one is that if you've been doing some work, the chances are you have some kind of practice. I mean, is it mindfulness meditation, yoga, running, working out, you know, reading, whatever it is. The holidays can disrupt that. But make a commitment to yourself to continue with your practice, at least to the best of your ability. You know, ideally on a daily basis, if you're used to meditating every day, you know, find a way to carve that time out and do that meditation. And if you're not at home, you know, just find a way to just get to a quiet place if that's what you're about. Unless you're out in the boonies, chances are that there's going to be, if you're into yoga, there's probably a yoga facility near you, or just, you know, bring your mat and kind of just do it in your room wherever you are. This is important because the more grounded you are, the more likely you are to stay conscious. And the more likely you are to stay conscious during this, the more likely it is that regardless of what may come at you, that you will be able to respond instead of react. Okay, so that's the first, you know, stay grounded. And, you know, it's not just saying that, it's continuing the very things that keep you grounded, whatever they may be. Okay, the second tip is to check in with yourself. And by that, just be aware of what triggers you might have. Be aware of your when you start to react. So when a conversation starts to go off the rails, you know, just be aware of that. Awareness is the first step. Just kind of realize that you're that maybe you're getting riled up. It doesn't have to do with the other person. If the other person gets riled up, I mean, and you stay grounded and conscious, then you can track them. And if you want to know how to track, you can check out some of my previous segments. Or, you know, and if that's not your favorite thing, or if you don't feel comfortable tracking at that point, then just, you know, back off, excuse yourself, or change the subject. Now, if you do get triggered, one approach is to try to take a timeout. Okay, this is my third tip. So try to take a timeout if you can. Now here's the thing. Yeah, you don't want to announce it. So if your uncle is starting to get on your case about what your political views are, who you voted for, you know, when you start to feel yourself get defensive, or, you know, again, your heart starts racing, you start sweating a little bit or whatever, you know, it just, you don't have to stay there and put up with it. But you don't have to start a fight over that either. So, you know, you could find an excuse. I mean, having to go to the bathroom is always just one way to kind of just get out of it for the moment. I mean, who could object to that? And if somehow that doesn't come to mind, or if that doesn't work, then you can try an impact statement to set your limit. You know, you could say something like, you know, Uncle Bob, I'm feeling uncomfortable with this conversation, and I would like to return to this topic at a later time. And then, of course, track and override resistance. You know, they would say, oh, you know, what's the matter? You can't take it. You might be right about that, and I would like to talk about it another time. And you don't have to defend. You don't have to explain. Be reasonable, of course. Don't be the one who is kind of attacking the other person for any of those things. So expect resistance. Just as a side note, I know that a lot of times couples counselors will recommend a timeout. My personal experience with that is that it's never worked, because usually one person wants the timeout and the other one wants to have nothing to do with it, regardless of what's because they're all kind of stoked and they want to kind of keep at what they're doing, and the other person saying, oh, no, I want a timeout. To be honest, that has never worked in a triggered situation like that. But sometimes it does work. It is recommended by some, so it's a possibility. Now, tip number four. Now, here's something you can do beforehand. Now, beforehand, you may have some idea of who a difficult person is going to be that you're going to encounter. Again, it might be someone for your family of origin. It might be an in-law or in-laws. But here's what you can do to set the groundwork for having more mindful conversations, and that is to hold each person that you judge to be difficult in the light. You know, I'm putting air quotes around difficult, because I don't believe that there are really any difficult people. There are people who are in pain, who are just using strategies that they've found to address what their needs are, and that can come across as being very difficult. But keep in mind that thinking of a person as difficult is a very judgmental thing. I mean, is that really a heart-centered way to look at someone? Now, there are people who present more challenges than others. The way I see it is that somebody who presents a bigger challenge, and if I fail to meet that challenge, then that is just information to me that I'm not as skillful or heart-centered as I would like to be. There are ways of practicing mindful compassion. I mean, there's one I'm familiar with called Tonglen, and it's one of these things where you begin with yourself and you begin with people who are close to you, and you just kind of have mindful compassion for them. You hold them in the light. You see them as being just whole and perfect human beings, and you keep expanding the people who you see that way until it starts including some of these so-called difficult people. Again, there are a variety of ways of approaching this, but mindful compassion is an excellent way to kind of set the stage for interactions that could prove potentially difficult. Tip number five. As I mentioned earlier, the chances are you still may regress despite all of what you're doing. So don't beat yourself up about that. Remember, keep it as use it as information, and there's always more opportunities. That's the beauty of relationships, is that there's always an opportunity for another chance at it. So don't beat yourself up, and that ties in with what I was talking earlier about the inner critic. But just on this one specific thing, understand that it's not going to be perfect, and it may be highly imperfect. And if it is, don't beat yourself up too much. Which leads to tip number six, which I call clean up on aisle nine. And that is, if you've really lost it, let's say you've attacked or criticized someone else, you've just gotten into it, and of course you needless to say have the high moral ground because they deserved it, and they started it anyway, and yada, et cetera, et cetera. See, here's the thing: is if you have acted in a way which is inconsistent with what your heart-centered desired interaction is, first of all, as per tip number five, don't beat yourself up about it, but still, it's appropriate then to offer sincere amends. So the most effective way to offer amends is, well, first, some don'ts. Don't justify or defend. Well, I did say that, but you said that first, or I was only reacting to what you were saying. No. Just, I said that. That was a hurtful thing to say, and I regret that, and I'm so sorry. Don't take their inventory. Just take care of your side of the street. Keep your side of the street clean. And take responsibility for your behavior, but only for your behavior. Don't try to take responsibility for something that's not yours. One effective way is in the form of an impact statement. And to learn more about impact statements, you can listen to some of my other segments. But in this particular case, you can state your behavior. What did you say or what did you do? Express your regret about it and express what you wish to do in the future instead. And did I mention that it should be sincere? And remember, always be sincere, whether you mean it or not. Just small joke there. But yes, be sincere. Okay, Todd, that was tip number six, clean up, what I call clean up on aisle nine. And finally, seven, avoid topics that you know will be problematic. You know, typical problematic topics, the big three, politics, religion, and sex. Those are the big three. And if you know that they're going to be problematic, if you know that that there are people in your family and maybe extended family that have very, very different political views, different religious views, different views about, you know, about sex, about, you know, whatever. If you know that they're going to be problematic, then avoid them. It's the old, you know, it hurts when I go like that. Well, don't go like that. So if a topic is a painful one, one that you know is just going to take things off the rails, just don't go there. And if the topic comes up, as the saying goes, you don't have to go to every fight that you're invited to. You don't have to show up for every argument that they invite you to. And so if an uncomfortable topic comes up, you know, you either use the excuse, go to the, it's time for my run, or time for my meditation, or, depending on, I got to feed the baby, or a direct impact statement. You know, I'd rather not talk about this. So to recap, the holidays can be both a joyful time and a time for challenge, a time for regression. I've talked about the good, the bad, and the ugly of holiday times as it relates to communication, and I've given seven tips for communication during the holidays to, one, continue your practice, two, be aware of yourself, three, if you're triggered, take a timeout, four, before the visit, hold everybody in the light. Five, don't buy into your inner critic if you do, if you're not perfect. Number six, clean up on aisle nine, make amends. And seven, avoid topics that you know will be problematic. And that does it for 2017 on Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. I've been your host, Arnie Buss. I so appreciate you joining me today and all of this year. I look forward to a wonderful 2018, and I wish all of you the same. I will continue the Speaking of Listening segment right here on Good Vibrations Radio every second Monday at 5 o'clock. To learn more about effective listening and my workshops on effective communication, you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com, consciousawareheart, all one word. You can like me on Facebook at awareheart. Follow me on Twitter at effect5com. That's the word effect, the number 5, C-O-M-M. And my website is www.consciousawareheart.com. And until next time, remember, listen with your heart.
You should have listened. There is someone here inside. Someone I thought had died so long ago.
So that was Speaking of Listening with Dr. Arnie Buss. As he mentioned, he's here the second Monday of each month. And you can go to the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com and connect directly over to Dr. Arnie Buss's website and get more information, or connect with him to find out more information. So it's probably a much more appropriate time during this season of the year for all that great guidance he offered to either make a choice to have conflict at that dinner or to avoid conflict at that dinner. The choice is yours. And for the nature of the season, it's best to avoid that conflict. I want to let you know some of the things going on this week, by the way. It's going to be probably the most stress-free week of the holiday season, at least astrologically. So it's a good time to enjoy your holiday cheer, whatever it is that you celebrate or offer. You know, recently, just today, I was in an email exchange with someone that I was wishing happy Hanukkah to, because tomorrow evening at sundown, Hanukkah starts. And that is really the presage of the season of light. And this month is so full with different holidays and celebrations based on different faiths and different things, that the one issue I want to touch on, because this is the time this week to focus on that, is we need to get away from this artificial argument or concern over what someone says to you. Whether they say happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, Merry Christmas, who cares? Just take it and absorb it in the season of light. If you know someone is Jewish and celebrating Hanukkah, offer them a happy Hanukkah. Don't tell them Merry Christmas. That's rude. That's rude and obnoxious, and it's an imposition of your belief system on them. Same thing if someone says to you, happy holidays, don't be offended because it's about Christmas. Don't be offended. They're still sending you good wishes. So let's get off our high horses, especially at this time of the year, and go back to that whole point we started with. It's about connection. Excuse me. It's about connection. So astrologically, this is our stress-free week. Use it. The sun will make a small conjunction with retrograde Mercury tomorrow, which means it will be easy to get insights from your past. You'll get some clarity on things that have previously occurred. There's going to be a Mercury-Venus conjunction on Friday, on the December 15th, and that'll add some charm and some sweet talk. So you can kind of talk your way around almost anything with that kind of a conjunction of Mercury and Venus. But with Mercury in Sagittarius, who can be less than honest, and Venus in Sag can be less than loyal, it can also be a big mistake on Friday to believe everything you hear. Take everything with a grain of salt, although it will be very charming and witty. And we're going to have a Sun-Uranus trine on Saturday, the 16th. And remember, trines are karmic. They're bringing forward an energy that's been predetermined for all of us to make shifts and changes in our own lives. And so that's going to bring us to a little bit of an unpredictable close with Sun-Uranus, because Uranus is all about the unpredictability. So if you've got a need to break free or shift something in your life, Saturday will be your impetus to start to make that happen. So a powerful, powerful time. Next week on Good Vibrations Radio, we're going to have Joyce Day Muse. Will be joining us with her astrological insights for the rest of December and going into October. We want to remind everyone also, if you're on our email list, if you're not, get on it. Get on the email list, because we're going to be doing an online webinar of the quarterly preview on December 29th, starting at 6 p.m. Pacific time. So it's going to be a wonderful time. We're going to have Kirilani will bring her vibrational energy. Joyce will bring her astrological insights. And naturally, I'll have the wisdom of the Tarot. And we'll cover the transition to 2018, as well as the energy of January, February, and March of 2018. As we go forward into 2018, I also want to let folks know that Good Vibrations Radio will be making some changes. What those changes will actually be is still being worked out, but we will be making changes in terms of our broadcast and content, because it's time. It's been over 10 years of Good Vibrations Radio bringing you metaphysical insights and information, and it's time for a shift of a harder, more determined content. So thank you for all those who listen, all those who continue to listen, all those who have listened. And we wish you in this season of light many, many blessings. This week, take the lead in your life, turn it into gold. Tune in again next week, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. Thank you for listening. Namaste.